How do you do? Someone once said, never give the devil a ride because he always wants to drive. And we might add, you won't like the place where he takes you. The man in this story discovered the truth of that warning too late, when his life had already crashed. But he was led from despair to joy when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. The year was 1984, and two men walked into a car dealership planning to buy an expensive car when one of them became suspicious and, lifting the shirt of the car dealer to whom they had sold drugs, they discovered a wiretap.
I knew something was wrong.
We trusted you.
I couldn't help it, guys. I had to go along with them.
You set us up, you louse.
What do we do now?
Let's get out of here first. Then we'll get a lawyer.
This is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. If you could see the soul of a homeless man or woman, you'd see mostly despair. Many have given up under the weight of failure and feelings of hopelessness. Pacific Garden Mission is a refuge for these lost souls, providing a warm welcome in a cold-shouldered world. Thanks to friends whose financial gifts keeps the door open day and night, the mission offers hearty meals, clean beds, fresh clothing, even a medical and dental clinic to care for their hurts, and all without charge. Mission counselors and pastors offer an even more important gift, one that changes their lives forever, and that is the gift of friendship with the one who makes all things new, like the story we're about to share. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2804 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
I understand you've gotten yourself into a jam, Larry.
Yeah, I expect a knock on the door any day. And I'll admit I'm scared.
Have you ever been arrested on felony charges before?
No, I've never been arrested for anything. I even worked at the Attorney General's office at one time.
Well, I've asked around, and there's a grand jury investigation going on.
I can't believe this is happening to me.
If I'm going to represent you, then you must be absolutely honest with me. Understood?
Yeah.
Are you involved in this drug ring?
Yes, I am.
The DEA is trying to nail the Brazilians behind the operation, so I urge you to cooperate with the federal marshals, and they may go easy on you.
Cooperate? You mean I should turn myself in?
Yes. The sooner the better, and be completely honest with them.
How does a boy raised in a loving family, sent to church even, end up as a man facing prison? Unfortunately, there came a time in his life when the man in our story took a ride on a lie and let Satan take control. He's telling his story now to warn others. It's the true story of Larry Hale, right now on Unshackled.
My father was legally blind from playing with fireworks as a boy. He worked for the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation, but life was difficult for him and Mom. Neither had completed high school, so Mom worked as a waitress. I had two sisters who were 10 and 11 years older than I, and an older brother who died when he was 5 years old. So I felt like an only child and was spoiled accordingly. My parents' failure to enforce disciplines would impact many decisions made throughout my life. Dad played drums, and I was so proud watching him at fairs and carnivals, knowing that one day I would be on stage with people cheering me too.
What in the world are you doing, Larry?
Well, this old organ doesn't work anyway, so I ripped the bellows out.
It's an antique. Hasn't worked in years.
Yeah, but I put in some wood slats with a hole in the middle, big enough for the vacuum cleaner hose. Maybe I can make it work like a bellows.
That's pretty ingenious, son.
Oh, keep your fingers crossed, Dad.
Hey, it works.
It works.
Next thing you know, you'll be playing the organ in church. Honey, come see what Larry's done.
Seeing my determination to play, my folks bought me a spinet organ and lessons for my 13th birthday. Although Dad's work schedule kept them out of church except for special occasions, they always sent me. Mom's brother was a pastor, and my sisters were devout in their faith. My friends and I often went roller skating with a Christian youth organization, and one night during a break in the skating party, I listened to an evangelist and was horrified by his message. Later, I talked to Dad about it.
Dad?
Yes, son?
They had an evangelist at the skating rink, and he spoke to us tonight about hell. He said if we didn't ask Jesus to forgive our sins, we'd go to hell. Boy, it was scary.
He's right. Hell is one place you don't want to go.
I never realized that it was so serious before, Dad.
That's why Jesus died on the cross, to pay for our sins, so we wouldn't have to go to hell.
Well, I asked Jesus to save me from hell tonight, so now I'm safe, huh?
Yes. That's good, son. Your mother will be glad to hear that, and so will the rest of the family.
I had fire insurance, or so I thought, and so I began playing with fire. My sisters tried to lead me to a deeper relationship with Jesus, but I wasn't interested. I had no desire to know him better or to live the Christian life. I idolized rock musicians, and I was soon consumed with the desire to become a rock star. Meanwhile, Dad had a cornea transplant and regained his sight well enough to drive. He and Mom spent their weekends on the 40 acres of mountain property they owned.
Larry?
Yeah, Dad?
Did you see how your mother and I fixed up that old bus?
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Makes a great camper. You want to go with us this weekend up to the mountains?
Nah, yeah, I'm going to hang out with my friends.
I wish you'd reconsider, son. You always enjoyed being on the family farm during the summer, so we thought you'd like spending some time in the mountains, too.
Well, we want to get together and practice, Dad. We're forming a rock band.
Rock music is bad, Larry. It's demonic.
It is not. It's cool.
Have you ever really listened to the lyrics? They exalt the devil and all kinds of immorality.
You're living in the past, Dad. Rock is where it's at.
You're making a big mistake, son. I wish you'd listen to me.
It's my life. You play your kind of music and I'll play mine.
Whatever happened to the things you learned in church?
Religion is no fun. Dad, it's for squares.
My friends and I formed a rock group during my senior year in high school, and we played in clubs and concert 5 times a week. We didn't earn much money after paying expenses, but from then on, school was a struggle. I was a jokester, and a new band director removed me from my position of lead clarinetist. But all I really cared about was our rock band and being famous.
That was a good set, guys.
Yeah, the crowd loved that last number.
Hey, who wants a beer? I'm buying.
All right, I have one.
Okay, bartender, beer's for the band. Man, I'm glad to be finished with school.
Hey, they won't forget that graduation. We set up the new band director big time, didn't we?
Yeah. When he flipped the page of his score and saw that picture we slipped inside.
Oh, the look on his face when he quit conducting and we all just stopped playing.
Well, no wonder. That chick was really built. Kind of like the one watching us now. You know, I bet I can score with her tonight.
The guys in the band all bragged about the groupies who hung around, feeding my desire to be rich and famous. Later, I learned they were lying. At age 16, I graduated, and that summer, I met Leanne. She was 14 when we met, and I talked her into an intimacy that neither one of us was ready for.
Larry, the lab test came back positive.
You're pregnant?
Yes.
Cool. I'm gonna be a daddy. Hey, wait till the guys hear this.
You're not gonna abandon me, are you?
Oh, don't be silly. I love you. We'll just get married.
It's kind of scary. I mean, it's a big responsibility having a baby.
Well, Dad and Mom will help us.
Are you sure? I mean, you said they didn't even want us to date.
Well, that's because we're so young and they feared where our relationship could lead. But you're pregnant now, so they have no choice. I had formed a new band, and after our marriage, Leanne and I lived with my parents until I was able to support us. When our son was born, I was so proud. I would hold him and let him bang away at the keyboard. Leanne went back to high school and finished at the top of her class. She got a job and was a good wife and mother, but I was a lousy husband and father, always gone.
Hey, babe, look who's home.
Who indeed, stranger? You were gone so long, Larry.
Well, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Not for our son. He needs his daddy. My dad keeps telling me what a lousy father and husband you are, and I have no defense. I had no idea it would be like this.
Well, our band is really getting a name, honey. The crowds are growing every gig, and look at the money I brought home.
That's good, I guess. But we'd rather have you at home more often.
I was only gone 3 weeks this time.
That's a long time to a child and to a wife.
Look, you have your friends and a job. I know you keep busy. If you get lonely, give one of my buddies a call. They'll be glad to keep you company.
Larry, what an awful thing to suggest.
Live and let live, I say. And I promise not to be jealous.
Ugh.
If it hadn't been for my overinflated ego, I might have been a good father to my son. I certainly didn't follow the example set by my dad, but I craved fame. And as our band became well known, we started touring the country with 5 musicians, 5 roadies, and a 26-foot diesel truck filled with equipment. I loved being on stage with people shouting and screaming for more. I avoided my parents and my sisters from then on because their morality was a reminder of my own wickedness. Then came the next step on the road to disaster.
Okay, hey, I'll put the mic over there.
Oh, man, I am so tired.
Well, 5 weeks on the road will do that to you.
I just don't feel like performing tonight. I'm beat.
Well, I have something that'll help. Here, take one of these.
What is it?
It's an over-the-counter pill for asthma. Guaranteed to pep you up, Larry.
I was up all night, playing a pinball machine in our room. So the next time I was tired, I took another pill. We were all smoking marijuana then, but alcohol had the biggest hold on me. I was using stimulants to get me going and barbiturates to slow me down. And one night, after using uppers and downers simultaneously, I collapsed on stage. My own selfish desires were leading me on, blinding me to the disaster that lay ahead.
We'll hear about that disaster in just a moment. We get many requests for copies of these dramas, and you can order cassettes by going to our website, unshackled.org. But we also have many stories published in booklet form, and you can order any one of these booklets free. Simply write and ask for the kind of testimony that deals with whatever problem concerns you, such as alcoholism, drugs, the occult, and so on. Each Unshackled booklet retells the story just as it was broadcast on radio. Easy to read and yet small enough to slip into your pocket. Handy to give another who needs encouragement. What a beautiful way to help someone through a difficult time. And each Unshackled booklet tells of God's power to transform any life. Each one ends with a prayer of commitment to Christ that anyone can understand and pray for salvation. And remember, there's no charge, so write and ask for your free copy of an Unshackled booklet.
Please note, our new address here at Pacific Garden Mission is 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our new phone number is 312-492-9410. 312-492-9410.
Morally, I was a very weak man. In the 8th year of our marriage, I left my wife for another woman. I didn't live with her. I lived with our sound man. Eventually, Leanne and I got back together, and our daughter was born. But as much as I loved my children, I was too selfish and empty to be a real father to them. In our 9th year of marriage, I met Dolly.
I like your music, Larry.
Oh, thanks. Weren't you here last night, too?
Yes, and I'll be here every night that your band is playing.
Well, let me buy you a drink.
Sure. And after the gig?
Well, if you're still here.
I will be.
I hope so. We can really get to know each other. She began to hang out with the band, and I began to hang out with her. Dolly's brother was a drug dealer, so I was soon using cocaine, a very expensive habit. After 10 years of marriage to Leanne, I moved out of my house to live with Dolly, and Leanne divorced me.
I was so hooked on drugs and the immoral lifestyle that I didn't consider where this could lead or the results. Our road expenses were high, so our band didn't net much income. My life was far from the glamorous facade it had promised when I started out. Even my relationship with Dolly wasn't what I'd hoped.
What do you mean you have to babysit tonight?
Leanne has some kind of commitment, and she can't afford a sitter, so she asked me to watch the kids.
Well, why can't she find someone else to watch them?
They are my kids, and she asked me.
She could find a sitter if she tried, Larry. Stay here with me.
I promised her, Dolly. Will you run me over there? I don't have the car. She does.
I'm not taking you over there. Call a taxi.
That would cost a fortune. Come on. You can drive me. Besides, I never act that way when Jane is involved. I treat your daughter like she's mine.
That's beside the point. I'm not taking you. You can just walk.
It's winter, Dolly.
Tough. The walk should do you good.
I walked several miles along a dangerous highway from Harrisburg to Enola. When it was time to leave again, my daughter begged me to stay with her, but the hooks of sin and drugs were too deep. I cried as I walked back to my girlfriend's place, tears of shame and guilt and self-pity. My drug use had increased, and I could see that I needed more money, so I approached Dolly's brother.
No way, Larry. You don't want to get involved in drug dealing.
Look, I have to, Sonny. I can't afford to buy it otherwise.
Well, it's dangerous, man. You have no idea the kind of people you'd be messing with.
I'm not stupid. I travel a lot and make good contacts. You could expand your operation with me.
Ah, oh, you don't know what you're doing. You'd compromise me and your band.
They're all druggies anyway. Come on, dude.
Forget it, Larry. It's too risky. I'm not gonna set you up.
Stubborn and desperate, I bought cocaine from a friend of his, cut it and resold it at a profit, keeping the best for myself. So Dolly's brother reconsidered and let me into his drug operation. Suddenly, I seemed to have everything. A popular rock band, the best stereo, expensive cars, and all the drugs I wanted. There were times when I had thousands of dollars in cash. And then Dolly's brother and I discovered the wiretap at the car dealer, and I knew the game was over.
So what color is the car that you bought?
I didn't get it. The dealer had on a wiretap. It was a sting operation.
I knew it would happen sooner or later. Now you know why I don't sell drugs. I keep a job for my income.
I could go to prison, Dolly.
It's not the end of the world, Larry. My brother's been to jail so many times, I've lost count.
I've never even been arrested. I don't want to go to prison.
Get a good lawyer. That'll help.
I've already talked to one, and he wants me to turn myself into the U.S. Marshal.
Oh, great.
He also thinks I should clean up my life. Quit the band.
Quit the band?
Bad image. He wants me to get a respectable job and settle down. We should get married, too. What do you think?
I don't want to get married, Larry.
Dolly, it might help me stay out of jail. I was hollowed out with fear when I finally talked to the U.S. Marshal. All my friends deserted me, but I knew there was one place I could go and still be accepted.
Larry, it's been a long time. Good to see you, son.
Hi, Dad.
You got your hair cut?
Yeah, I quit the band and got a real job, too.
You did?
Yeah, I'm working at a bakery in Marysville. I bet you never thought I'd do something like that, huh?
I knew you'd settle down someday, son. How are the kids?
Okay. Yeah, maybe I can be a better dad now. At least I'll be around more.
That's good. Your mother and I pray for you and them.
Dolly and I are getting married, too. I sure would like for Mom and you to come to the reception.
You've made a lot of changes, son.
Well, I got into some trouble and I thought I'd better get my life straightened out. I thought it was time to let you know. There's been a grand jury investigation, Dad, and I've been indicted for drug dealing.
Son, we know all about it. We read it in the papers. We were just waiting for you to come and tell us.
I was afraid you'd disown me or something.
Never. We love you, Larry.
Dolly and I were married by a justice of the peace, and Dolly was hung over from the drugs and alcohol of the night before. So instead of going on the honeymoon, I went fishing with one of her brothers. I didn't tell my boss at the bakery about the impending trial. By the time he learned about my problem, I had already proven myself a good employee with a high sales record. So his lawyers helped me too. The head of data processing at work was an elder in church, and he always invited me to go for a walk at lunchtime.
Are you a Christian, Larry?
Yeah, I grew up in the church.
Where were you going when you die?
to heaven. God is a loving God and would never send anyone to hell.
You're right. God doesn't send people to hell. They choose to go there.
Do you really believe that?
Yeah. We're all guilty of breaking the Ten Commandments, wouldn't you agree?
I have, and my guess is most people have broken at least one of them.
The Bible says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." And the penalty for sin is death, eternal separation from God.
So we're all headed for hell?
Well, we all deserve hell. We don't go to hell because we sin. We sin because we're sinners and separated from God. But he made an escape for us, a way out through the sacrifice of Jesus. He paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah, I know that verse.
But do you know the one who spoke it? Who stands behind it? When you put your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, then and only then can you have the assurance of heaven. And he will give you the power to live right.
I asked Jesus to save me when I was 12 years old. I thought that was enough.
Did you really mean it? Did you really want to live for him as if he was living his life in you?
No. I just said what they told me because I didn't want to go to hell. I thought it would spoil my fun if I had to become a real Christian like my sisters.
He came to give us life, Larry, and life more abundantly. You haven't begun to live until you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, until you follow him wherever he leads. It's the greatest joy you'll ever know.
You think it's too late for me now?
No. God loves you. He's not willing that any should perish. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is looking for true repentance. So if you confess your sins and turn from them, God will forgive you and give you new life, as if you'd never sinned.
I thought about these things, but made no decision. Because I had turned myself in, I was never in handcuffs. I appeared in court for the trial and was sentenced along with one of the other dealers. I was deeply disappointed that my parents were not in court to support me, and I was even more disappointed when I received a sentence of 2 years in federal prison. Before we left the courtroom, however, the judge called us back up to the bench.
I'm remanding your 2-year sentence and ordering you instead to serve 6 months in the Dauphin County Jail in a work release program. You'll spend your nights and weekends in jail and be released only to go to work. You'll also perform 400 hours of community service.
Hello?
Hey, Dad.
Larry, where are you?
At work.
How did it go today?
I got a 2-year sentence, but then the judge reduced it to 6 months work release. So I spend only my nights and weekends in prison.
Praise God.
Dad, I missed you in court today. I was hoping you and Mom would be there.
We were on our knees, praying for you, Larry.
Your sentence could have been much worse, Larry.
At least I'm not in the federal prison. But most of my paycheck has to go to the jail to pay for my accommodations.
What's it like?
Oh, I was scared stiff when I first got there. But my buddy was a few days ahead of me and picked out a bunk in a safe place.
Trust in the Lord, Larry. He'll see you through this.
I'll survive, but I worry about my wife. She doesn't make enough money to pay the bills and heat the house, and Christmas is coming. There's no way she can buy presents for my kids and her daughter, too.
Don't worry. The boss will do what he can to help.
You know what I learned, Dale? My folks weren't in court for the hearing because they were on their knees at home, praying for me.
That's why the judge reduced your sentence, Larry. Their prayers.
As I sat in prison in the evening and on the weekends, I had plenty of time to think about my life. Spending Christmas alone was miserable, but sure enough, the boss had firewood delivered to the house several times that winter, and his grandfather bought Christmas presents for the children. 4 months passed, and one day the warden called me at work and told me they were letting me out 2 months early. I was free. That Sunday, for the first time in many years, I went to a small church near our home, and Dolly went with me. When I walked in, I saw a big banner that read, "God sets the prisoner free." I knew that God was speaking to me. A short time later, I went to Dale's church, and the following week at his pastor's house, I knelt and repented of my sin and asked Christ to be Lord of my life. He took away all the ugliness, the cigarettes and drugs, the alcohol and foul language. And then I learned that Dolly was having an affair, and she left me. Dale's pastor helped me through this difficult period, and I talked to my friend Dale about it.
Maybe she'll change her mind, Larry.
No, she's been having an affair with some guy, and she moved in with him. It's over.
How are you doing with all this?
I'm really bummed out. But Pastor Heilman has been so much help. I don't know what I would have done without him.
I'm glad that he could help you. God has given him lots of wisdom.
Yeah, he told me that God has plans for my life and that I shouldn't be discouraged.
That's great advice.
He also said that the Bible says, if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But I'll never marry again. Dolly married her lover, and Leanne married a nice guy who loved my children. I had decided to live single and serve the Lord. I ran into a girl I had known in high school. Luella had never married but was serving the Lord in ministry. We sang together many times and were married in 1993, 8 years after my salvation. Today, we serve the Lord together, singing and sharing the good news, telling others about the Prince of Peace who set us free.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listening friend, Jesus gave his life a ransom for you, and he lives to help you walk in new life. If you would like to receive him as your Lord and Savior, pray with us right now. Lord, I believe you died to save me. I'm asking your forgiveness for my sins, your strength to help me become like you. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart and life and live through me. In your name I pray, amen. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Please let us know you prayed with us, and we'll send you some helpful literature. Share the good news by telling your friends when and how to hear these inspiring stories, and please take a moment to thank the manager of this station for including us in their lineup. Ask them to keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 2804, heard in the true story of Larry Hale, where Tim Gregory, Dave Kappas, Guy Burrill, P.J. Burns, Ed DiZallo, Maura Kate Burns, and Kate Johnson. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script, Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write and let us know that you enjoy these programs.
Please note, our new address here at Pacific Garden Mission is 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our new phone number is 312-492-9410. 312-492-9410.